from the age of 25 to 31, those are your mistake years. I saw my parents with that car on the side of the road. They were pissed off at me. My brother was pissed off going, you're making over $200,000 a year selling medical equipment. What the fuck are you doing selling bananas on the side of the road? I was literally wearing scrubs, cutting strawberries. There was a risk that I was willing to take. My number one driving force, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I will always stand by this. I don't care if people think I'm fake for saying it. Money has never driven me through this entire thing. Never has, never will. You guys are Jersey guys. You gotta stay here. You can build your dynasty from here.
You guys going up? All right, you ready? In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, and welcome to the MCM podcast number 16. Of course, my name is not JR, it is Max.
I don't know why you always gotta fucking do this shit. My name is JR.
Well, last time I literally saw, I didn't even say my fucking name. Which I literally, we were editing, and I was like, dude, I mean, I know, like, we're big. Like, we're the biggest things in New Jersey, which, like, people don't need to know.
kind of a big deal.
Yeah. We're talking about big deals. Let's get into our guests. We have Rob Giuliani from Pliables.
Very special fucking guest. Yes. How are you feeling today, man?
I feel good, man. Yeah. You got a Friday night, 8 o'clock podcast. I mean, Jesus Christ, spending my time with you guys is amazing.
Let me just kill myself really quick.
Yeah, Rob literally said, he's like, do we have to do this? Like, I have literally a million other things I want to do. And we're like, Rob, please, like, we need this. And he's like, no. And then we like...
Rob, please, we need your clout, okay? Our page is dying. We need your help. Fuck.
We're slowly not gaining as much as we used to. We need the Pliables clout. Yeah. And he said, I got you, fam.
Got you, guys.
There you go.
I was going to touch upon what I'm doing myself. Is each podcast we always say that I kind of center my outfit, both of us, but he's a fucking loser right here. He's not even fucking trying.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm wearing a wetsuit.
Listen, we both, okay. He thinks that I didn't try. Last week we wore suits because we had John Walsh on for Trump, right?
And I told him to do that.
And it was, I mean, the power went out from the storm and there was no AC in here. It was like fucking 90 degrees. I don't try my ass, okay? I'm wearing a dad hat type look and I got a Pliables shirt on. That's all I need. Problem solved. There you go. That's the theme. It's Pliables. It's the beach. I did it.
And I'm going even farther with the wetsuit.
That sounds like a personal
problem. Say way too far. The 4-3 wetsuit in a hot studio. But
I was like, this guy's a fucking psycho, man. Either he's a psycho or he's just fucking strange.
Yeah.
So, dude, I want to get into, I mean, you get asked this question a lot, but the founding of Pliables. And I want you to kind of go into that and the behavior that it takes in the entrepreneurship to start something like that. And just talk about how, you know, dude, it's huge now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, where to start, huh? Yeah. Holy shit.
I know, you gave him a really broad question. I thought we talked about this. Couldn't do this anymore.
I know. I was starting out a little bit, but I was, like, thinking about how, like, I love plot, yeah. And I was like...
So let's do this. When did you come up with the idea? Like, how did it come to you?
Well, it was 2014, and, you know, to answer your question, I mean... I can give you the broad stroke answer. What does it take? And you get all these cliche answers all the time. It's just having... thick skin, having, you know, passion, and just literally every day waking up and you want to just quit and go, you know what, this is way too much going on right now. And it is. Every day I wake up, it's a roller coaster. Yeah. I tell my girlfriend, you know, I tell my family. It's just every single day something new hits you. When you think that you're past that point of actually succeeding, you're like, I got this in the bag. I've got my team. It's just these things hit us. Obviously, we're going through the pandemic right now.
Yes.
Then there were certain, you know, things in society that were happening that were very controversial, and it affected Pliables, and it just kept hitting and hitting. And then all of a sudden, a week ago, a hurricane hits us. You know, a tropical storm, hurricane, whatever it was.
Oh,
and, you know, it's just all these things compounded on top of one another, and without them, we were doing really well. Things were great.
Yeah.
But it's just these things just fucking hit us nonstop. Mm-hmm. And if I'm talking to a business person just one-on-one right now, like I was talking to my buddy last night, it was a young entrepreneur, it's the same shit. Like, it's going to happen every fucking day. If you think that for one second you're on easy street, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching your competitors, you're watching the market, you're watching, you know, I've had the question asked me 1,000 times, is acai a trend? Mm-hmm. Is it something, a flash in the pan, blah, blah, blah. And I hear it all the time, and like, I haven't convinced myself as like a, you know, I haven't pulled the wool over my eyes going, is it, but... I got my examples of why it is or why it is not. Mm-hmm. You watched the movie The Lost Boys from 1984.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have watched it. You're a little young.
I haven't, I'll be honest.
Fucking awesome movie, too. Like, if you didn't watch it. But the first opening scene, and you got these, like, heartthrob young dudes that are making this movie, and like they're in a frozen yogurt shop in 1983, 1984, eating frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
Fast forward 25, 30 years, frozen yogurt was always around. And then Pliables, everybody says it. Well, do you think that it's going to be a trend? I'm going, well, I mean, first of all, it's fucking fruit.
Yeah.
Or banana, strawberries. Yeah. I mean,
you know what? It's banana, strawberries, fucking trend. No one's going to eat that shit in 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. That's it. Bananas and strawberries gone.
Yeah.
The pandemic will wipe it off the face of the planet. Yeah, if you eat it, you will get COVID. Like, that's it.
We should just ban it right now. And then just end it. I'm sorry. Like, I'm already kind of giving up on this wetsuit, guys.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Jesus, yeah, I'm the one who doesn't try. Dude, and he's revealing that he's wearing the same fucking shirt as me.
Dude, high
you're
key.
Sweating through the shirt.
I'm,
dude,
I'm telling
that.
You right now, I literally, you know when I said fuck it, I was looking at Rob and I was like watching, like I was listening to his story and I felt the fucking bead of sweat hit me and like and got in my eye.
I'm going to zoom in on that. And I'm going to zoom in on his head.
I smell you from here.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Get some Axe body
I just haven't taken a shower
in
a week. I mean, that's probably it. But I mean, I felt that and I was like, Rob, I love you. I just, he told me to do this. He was the one who was like, Max, the only way I'll come on is if you wear a wetsuit. So now he's going to leave in like 10 minutes.
You know, back to the important stuff. Put that shit back on. No. But what I want to ask, and it's a little bit outdated, but I mean, just to go backstory, we were Rob was supposed to be our guest. He was our planned guest, and then as soon as like a week before it actually was supposed to happen, that was when the first mandatory quarantine began. Yeah. And I wanted to talk to you a lot about like what your plans were for like moving forward when people couldn't come into your store. But how did you guys handle that?
We had no plan.
You had no plan.
I'll tell you the straight up story. I mean, I forget what the exact date was. It was in March.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bunch of friends in my house. We call them the quarantine dream. It's all my surfer buddies. They've come to my house. Like, we watched Donald Trump, the Oval Office speech. It was a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there. I was in the military, and, like, I follow politics pretty closely. And I'm watching Donald Trump in the office going, he's fucking scared, too. He doesn't know what's going on.
No.
Everybody didn't have a plan, so
there
was a dichotomy. People wanted a plan really quick for something that's never happened to us since 1918, the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
Then this fucking hit us, and everybody's like, what's the solution? You got to give it time. And I was telling my executives, like, Carly and I, my girlfriend, it's like a week after that speech that he gave, I was like, we're going to Vermont. And I'm going to just go up there. We're going to get a nice, like, cabin in the woods. Let me, like, figure shit out and plan things out. And, like, I went up there. I brought the dogs up there. And I'm talking to my executives, Gary Moss, my CFO, Warren. I'm going, well, this is what we're going to do. And we came up with our own step process because, damn, Dad, we've got 17-year-old employees up to, whatever age. The young employees, what Pliables has. And the number one thing was, it wasn't about just making money. It was about protecting them, protecting our brand on top of that, and mixing all those things together to get to the right point.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a challenge of a lifetime. It was like literally climbing Mount Everest, getting hit with that, going, what the fuck are we going to do? And, we fought through it. And, fast forward 3 or 4 months later, no joke, I mean, we came through it really strong.
Yeah.
We saw what the need was, just like any business entrepreneur. Like, there's always a need for something in a market. Families are now stuck at their house. They're upset. They're frustrated. They're hearing their dad talk about Bill Maher or Tucker Carlson yelling, screaming with their friends. And, like, the kids are getting stressed out. So we came up with the family do-it-yourself packages. Like,
I like that.
Yeah.
That was my whole reasoning behind it, going, we're watching what's going on in society. I was going through it myself. I'm on the phone till 3 a.m. My brother's going, this is fucking nonsense. I hate Governor Murphy. I hate this. Like, we were all caught up in it. But what we didn't see is the people that were really being affected were the young kids, my employees. And we had to figure out how to make them feel comfortable through this entire thing. That was my number one plan, my number one strategy.
Yeah.
We executed on it. We kept doing what we normally did. And like I said, the riots that popped up after that, I'm going, holy shit. I go, we're still dealing with this pandemic, and throw that pile of shit on top of that.
Yeah.
It
was one thing after another.
One thing after another.
And one of the things that I talk about a lot, and not just like on the podcast, but like personally, is, it's like there's the wave of like the belief, like being an entrepreneur is a really important thing, especially in this country. Right.
Yeah.
And it felt like to me that in like the 6 months leading up to it, there was like a surge of it where people were like kind of believing it anymore. Like, I mean, like when you watch some of the debates and shit, and you saw someone like Andrew Yang, who was like preaching about like entrepreneurship and shit like that. Like, that was something cool. And it's not something that people really care about anymore. Like, there's no dynamism in the United States anymore. There's no like, belief that, I can build something out of this. And it felt like that was kind of coming back for a while. And then something like this happens, and anybody who had that belief that, I can start a business and I can be successful. Maybe I'll fail once or twice, but, as long as I work hard, I can do it. And then you get an outside thing like that just comes in and puts 50,000 small businesses out of business.
Well, there's two different things here. Yeah. I mean, the first thing is if you own a business and you're going through this.
Yeah.
And I've got friends that own businesses left and right. They were over my house through the pandemic having a glass of wine. And I'm sitting there and the I'm not going to name it, the pity party that was going on in their corner going, Murphy's doing that. I go, so what? I go, fucking beat it. I go, that's part about being an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, bike shops are open, but your clothing store can't be open. Boo fucking hell. You know what you do? Be smarter. Be an entrepreneur. Go on Amazon, buy five bikes for $100, throw it in front of your clothing store. You're now a bike shop.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
everything's go. It's the wild, wild west, right? Yeah. And I told them, I don't know if they did or they didn't do it, but I know what I did for Pliables. And I kind of just, we got through it, but not being greedy and not being pigs about money, just saying, protect the employees, number one. If, and I always say this to my executives, I go, if we are putting anybody in danger, we have to shut down.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If we start getting employees that are uncomfortable.
Sure.
And we did that. And you know, the second part was, you know, people that want to get into business right now, entrepreneurial-wise, there are a lot of opportunities. I mean, through this pandemic, the opportunities are there left and right, whether it's real estate, investment in things.
Sure, yeah.
My focus is Pliables and Pliables only. I've got friends coming to my house every night. They're like, hey, you should do this. You should do this. I'm like, no fucking way.
You're already deep in. There's like, as far as the time in the day, especially with that owning like a business like this, like there's that whole 9-to-5 thing. After that, you get to go home, whatever. With Pliables, there's no end time. You're probably in the middle of the night. If you get a call, you got to answer. I don't care where you are. You're, you know, down in the Caribbean, something like that.
But you say you have to do it. For me, it's like, I want to fucking do it. Like, it's passionate.
You have that drive to, you have something and you want to push it as far as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And there's a balance too. You don't want to like be that micromanaging prick that's all over everybody all the time. But you know, you got to just be on top. If you have passion and you love your brand, I sold medical equipment for 5 years. And I remember my boss, like it was yesterday, he always said like, it's kind of like a sales, like sales 101. If you don't believe in your product, you can't sell it.
You can't.
You cannot sell your product. So if I don't believe, the day that I wake up in the morning and I'm done with Pliables and don't believe in it, is a day that I have to back off and go, going on something else. And that's not coming any day soon.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's so much work. And you're not going to, like, wake up every day doing something you fucking hate. Because, you know, life is too short. If there's anything that our generation, like millennials, even Generation Zs, you see a lot of our parents that they work the same job for 30 years, hang up their fucking tie and they hate it. One thing even, like, my parents say is, like, listen, take those. If you want to do something, try something out, whether it's, like, YouTube or something, entertainment.
Yeah.
If you fail, whatever, you can always go back and do something to make money. But try what you actually want to do, and you did with Pliables. Dude, no one, obviously, you know, we're going to bring up, there's obviously some competitors in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, fuck it.
There's natural, I was actually out last night with my buddy, Chris Federico, one of my younger employees. He's moved on to working for his father's plumbing company in Staten Island. And he's got the heart of an entrepreneur. He wants to be an entrepreneur. I'm sitting there talking to him last night, explaining to him, like, even our competitors or serial entrepreneurs are out there, their minds are all over the fucking place.
They are.
Focused. You got to focus on one thing. And like all my buddies from Rutgers, still this Friday, I'm 37. They're hitting me up every day going, hey, Rob, should we do this? Should we drive a movie theater? I go, you're all over the place. Like focus on one thing.
Just do one thing.
And, you know, when Pliables came around, when the cart started on the side of the road.
In Belmar, right?
In Belmar. You know, it was a balance. I was selling medical equipment. I was making really good money. I was well over six figures. And I was happy. It was for the first time going, I enjoy this job. I was going to operating rooms, explaining to surgeons how to use new technologies that were coming out to fix ACLs, shoulder repairs. It was a pretty cool job. And then I met Abby, and this whole thing came up with Acai Bowls. I'm going, well, Rob, weigh out the risks and the options here. Going, you know, you can open up a little cart on the side of the road, which is fun. It's a hobby. Abby really wants to do it with me. And, you know, we did it, but I balanced it out in the beginning. And, you know, it was just a good thing that came out of it. And I focused, and that's why it crushed.
Well, I mean, that's especially with us. I mean, I'm working full time right now and in real estate at a place. And I like it. I believe in the product. But what I really see is like when I log onto our page and I put all these hours in, it does like I'll spend 5 or 6 hours making a post, doing all this podcast stuff, and it won't feel like that. And that's when I know that I really actually love this stuff. And I know that there's some end goal where we keep trying to get bigger guests and more exposure. So that's kind of I'm doing what you did originally with Pliables. That I was working, so I am working something else. Jesus Christ, my boss is gonna hear that. What do you want to quit?
Meanwhile, I'm just about to.
Deborah, I'm staying. Don't worry.
Deborah, I love you so much. You're the best company in the entire world. You're the best boss in the world.
Rob says it. Okay, listen. What are you saying? Yeah, right.
I know. I just think it's a funny contrast. You know, he's been doing this, and like I'm just like starting a new career personally myself. So it's like
two different aspects.
What are you doing?
I'm starting a job at JP Morgan.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's an investment, yeah.
That's our bank.
Better give them a good rate.
It's
a good bank.
We just went from Bank of America to JP Morgan.
It's a good
choice. They're awesome. Yeah. Working in Jersey or New York City?
New York City. Yeah. Well, I may be working from home for a while, yeah. I'm sure. But I wanna go to New York. I'm like ready to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I am.
Be careful what you wish for.
I am. I know. He keeps talking so highly about this. Listen, it's my thing is I went from living alone for years, like living away from home, and then I came back and I'm living at home again, and it's like I don't want to fucking do that, and I don't want to get an apartment in New Jersey and then pay to commute into the city. It's like, why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, now's the time to go to New York City.
I know. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get my shit together so I can get some good, rent rates. I mean, people are moving out.
Here's the problem. Like, all of our friends, we just have good fucking taste, and we don't want to go to New York.
Yeah.
So, like, we're all just, honestly, I'm just trying to find a temporary house.
This guy wants to move to fucking Los Angeles, which is a total shithole. I hate LA.
It's not. For entertainment sucks. And shit. For entertainment, where I want to be.
It is a shithole. It's a shithole.
But you don't have the aspect of the entertainer.
I lived there
stuff.
For 2 years. Oh,
I know. You went to college.
You live in LA? And
yes. I don't have the aspect of entertainers. I went out there and studied film. I worked on sets. I did have that aspect.
It's
and
different.
I still hated it.
It's different, but you don't have that mindset.
I did when I lived there. And then when I left, I was like,
what school
did
you go
to? I went to Loyola Marymount University.
Okay.
It's like,
California's cool as shit. I mean, just
it's
like.
It's cool, but it's like, I think it's like a place I'll go on vacation and, never want to stay more than like a couple weeks.
You guys are Jersey guys. You got to stay here. You can build your dynasty from here.
It's too expensive living in Jersey. It's really expensive, especially for a young person. But LA has
LA is just
as expensive, if not more.
More expensive, not even close.
It depends where.
Two-bedroom apartment for $3,500.
I mean, South Beach has $1 million. Yeah, it's like $100,000.
It's a condo apartment, we're getting off topic.
We're getting off topic.
I like this, actually. I'm going to be the mediator here between the both of you.
That's what it is, everybody.
What always happens is we forget the guest is here, and we just fucking
go
argue.
I would love to sit here and coach you guys along the bad decisions you make for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But like I said to Chris, going back to the pliable full story, Christopher Rico, my employee who ran my food trucks, now works for his father's plumbing company in Staten Island, I said to him straight up the age from... From the age of 25 to 31, those are your mistake years. Those are the entrepreneurial years. You should make mistakes, 110%. And I saw my parents with that car on the side of the road. They were pissed off at me. My brother was pissed off going, you're making over $200,000 a year selling medical equipment. What the fuck are you doing selling bananas on the side of the road? And I explained to them, and that's been my personality since then, when I go, I know what I'm doing. I was literally wearing scrubs, cutting strawberries on the side of the road. But I get a phone call from a doctor going, Rob, I need you in the surgery really quick. I'd leave the stand, make sure the employees there, and run off. And like, it was a balance that I figured out, but it was a risk that I was willing to take.
Yeah.
And like I said, from the age of 25 to 31, those are your risk-taking years. I wish schools would teach it better. Like, everything that goes on in our lives, like, you're young. You don't have a kid. You don't have a wife or married, whatever it is. Like,
mortgage,
those are your
things
years
like that. Yeah.
to
yeah.
take more risks. And that's what I like when young guys come to me, like, or young women, and they're like, I want to do this. I'm like, you should do it right now. Take the fucking chance. But be smart about it. Don't fucking be all over the place, like scatterbrain. And most of the entrepreneurs that come to me, my experience, they're scatterbrain.
They are.
They've got like 10 things going on in their heads going, whoa. Like, first and foremost, get the income coming in. Like, you've got the full-time job. You've got a full-time job coming.
Yeah.
Get that income coming in. Figure out what the plan is moving forward. And, like, with pliables in that car, I really didn't know, but everybody was asking me, when's that? Like, all the interviews I do, when was that one turning pivotal point?
Yeah.
For me, it was early on. Thank God. Fucking blessing in disguise. It was 3 days later, I saw a line of like 20 people down the road. I'm going, we fucking have it.
You have something, yeah.
If 20 people weren't lined up and it was a month later, did I keep going? I don't know.
I don't know that crystal ball. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know what we had and I know the changes I made and we just kept going with it.
I mean, I feel like not everyone has that risk taker gene. The problem is there's a lot of people who are fucking scared to do that, and those are the people... to be honest, they're 40, they have the two or three kids, and they're always living. My worst thing is, like, and I've learned, I used to be shy, and I used to be scared to make videos and do shit like this, and I'm so glad that I've finally gotten, this meme page has allowed me to do this and get in front of here, but it's also like, dude, just do what makes you happy, and if people are going to judge you anyway. If that cart stand didn't fucking work, people are going to judge you, and now that you're so successful doing this, people are still judging you. But guess what? You're making fucking money. You're one of the most well-known people.
You hit the nail on the fucking head. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, the judging that I get right now, like I was Jamie from Eat Clean, bro, Nick Ficcioli from like all my close mentors, people I've grown up, like they always said one thing, it's always lonely on top, right? As we get bigger and bigger and bigger, like, but I explained to my marketing team, I explained to my managers, like I'm involved with, so is Abby, so is the rest of my executive team. We're involved with all of our employees every day. Mm-hmm. And I explain that to them all the time. We've got these apps that come out for social media. If you get a bad review, we can get these robots essentially that respond back to the customers. And the marketing team wanted to do it so bad. I go, absolutely not. I go, me as the CEO, whatever the fucking that title means, I don't even know what that is anymore. Like, but this is my passion. I go, I'll respond to the customers. They have to understand that we are still humans. That I still love this brand. If they still know that, this company will always be successful. The second that they know I've backed off and they know that, they feel it. It's easy to understand that. And then the product starts failing behind that. So it's easy. It's easy.
As soon as you start automating things and like, it's like, you know, you make a phone call or something and you get like a fucking robot talking to you the same way, like you get a robot to respond to a Google review or something. People don't feel like they're like, all right, well, this, they kind of checked out. You know what I mean?
And that's you're almost feeling corporate at that point. Like the company, people like, they always talk about these like whatever rappers or singers, like, dude, you went so mainstream, this and that, like, when they were originally doing it, which I fucking hate that argument, honestly, where it's like, you should be happy someone's making money. At the same point, they're trying their best to do their music. But you owe
it back to the customers and the fans. I mean, not saying that we're a fucking mega million-dollar rapper, but like Pliables, you know, 96 stores, we have a lot of customers that they reach out to us on a day-to-day basis, explaining how it's changed their lives, how much they love it. They go to work and they get a little beach break, or I've lost this much weight. Like, if I write that to a company and the automated response comes from a robot, I'm like, fuck them. Like, no way.
Yeah.
So for me to get back and like write a paragraph saying, that's an amazing story, like, it's just, it's more powerful, and that's what I want to keep doing too. And that's my vision going forward.
Dude, you should do a concert. Now that you said that, can you rap?
I cannot rap. I can barely do a podcast. You want me to fucking rap?
we'll be the MCs, and Rob will just come out rapping for Pliables.
I got a very high pitched annoying voice. So.
I'm good. No, I agree, man, and that's why, like, with you, it's inspiring. As you say, you and what's. Jesus, that's my fucking shitty ass chair.
Is that your wetsuit or the chair?
That's fine. It was our bones creaking in this. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing? What I like is that even like, listen, I look up to you. I see what you've done. And the fact that you said even you have mentors where you are, it's something special where, and that also shows that, dude, you're going for more. There's no stopping.
Yeah. No, like, that's true. Dead on. I mean, there's times when I wake up in the morning when I can cash out right now, get an investor to buy Pliables and like, it's being candid and open and honest. I mean, that's kind of how you go through this whole like process. And these are tough decisions I have to make. I mean, I've got offers on the table from a year ago. I've got offers on the table now. And these are things that I'm fighting through going, what's best for the company? What's best for the brand? What's best for my employees? And like, listen, whether I take $50 million or $10 million, I mean, it doesn't really matter as long as I can go forward. I'm having a kid and God, how many fucking months? 7 months. I'm having
congratulations, congratulations, fucking man!
Thank you.
Awesome.
And that changed my perspective on things a little bit too. And even before that, my number one driving force, and I've said this a thousand times, and I will always stand by this. I don't care if people think I'm fake for saying it. Money has never driven me through this entire thing. Never has. Never will. I tell my mom all the time, my dad, if this failed tomorrow, I go back to getting a job. I could live in a more moderate house. I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter to me. Like I can drive. It doesn't matter. But if I have the money, I'm going to fucking spend it. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
So, Rob, a few years ago, me and JR, we went to Rincon. And it was honestly one of the best trips of, like, big place for surfers. And what I found so funny is, dude, everyone there is from Jersey. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, where are you from? Jersey.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is, so we landed and we got a hotel for the night, just like a closer hotel to where we had, you know, not where we were staying the rest of the trip.
Hotel in Rincon.
Yeah. We stayed there. We did because we got in so late and we couldn't check into our actual like place where we were staying. And
so can we stay at your place next time?
Yeah, the hotel was like a block away from Pliables.
We had hotel was it the Lazy Parrot?
Yes, that's where it was. Yeah,
dude,
it was the Lazy Parrot. Yeah,
Lazy Parrot's pretty cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, so it was like a block. We didn't even realize. We just walked outside. We're like, holy fuck, Pliables is right there. Because like, we got in so late, we didn't look around. You know what I mean?
Well, the flight service. So for your viewers, I mean, if you go to Rincon is the best place in the fucking world.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The flights,
yeah.
I mean, for the majority are only from
you go
JFK.
Abu Dhabi,
and they open up Newark, but you got to leave it like. Yeah. It's like 11 o'clock at night. You get to Rincon at like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Rent your car and then you gotta drive an hour and a half to Rincon. Yeah. So you're there at 4.
Yeah.
So it depends if there's waves. If you get there, there's waves. You got to surf right at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's it. But you guys got a hotel at Lazy Pirate. God bless your souls.
Yeah.
Well, dude, listen, I don't want to talk shit, but I love talking shit. So I went in your place.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, dude.
This was before I was, like, even a part of the – I wasn't really –
this was before the page.
This was before the page in general.
This was before the page. So I walked into Pliables, all bubbly like myself. I'm just, like, this charismatic guy. Yeah. And I walked in. I was like, yo, is this the Pliables, like, in Pier Village? And it's just, like, the people, like stone face.
Yeah.
I was like,
got a different mentality there.
Do you got the stupid Cupid? Like, Abby's talking shit.
That's the worst one that we have.
Dude, I love that one. That's like my favorite one. She said that.
The stupid Cupid.
Stupid Cupid. She said, I'm so basic for that.
Every 8-year old girl loves it. good for you. My niece loves it too. She's 10 years old.
but I remember we walked out and Max was like, yo, those people weren't fucking cool.
Dude,
were just like,
I'm going to come back this year, guys, and I'm going to FaceTime Rob while I'm there and be like,
yo, get your shit together.
I'll give you guys the rundown of like, the decision going to Rincon, and I don't care if people hear this. I mean, I want them to hear this, especially if they're like in business. You know, we have a marketing budget for Pliables every single year, and like I love Rincon with an anything in the entire world. I used to go there before I met Abby, surfing, go with my buddies, go out the night before, wake up to go surfing like 7 o'clock in the morning. Yep. I get acai bowls from this little Puerto Rican shop that I love more than anything. It was called Punta's Bakery, and like, the old lady would mix the acai and put the peanut butter in it, and I'd surf all day long. It was awesome. So fast forward, I met Abby. We did the car in Belmar, blah, 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 blah. And like, an opportunity came up for us to put up Pliables in Rincon. But if you haven't been to Rincon, Rincon is the most beautiful place in the entire world. It is a hidden gem. No passport, 3-hour flight, JFK, Newark. A little hard the first couple of times, like, navigate and figure out what you're doing, especially, you know, getting there. I mean, it's changed a lot. Infrastructure's been built a bit more.
Dude, it's very Americanized. Like, there's, like, it felt like, obviously, like, you go there, but it's, like, there's a Domino's there. I felt like, so it's not like you're in such, like, a different world.
Well, it's compared to Asbury Park, right?
Yeah.
Asbury Park, 8 years ago, when I moved to Belmar, Asbury Park was, everybody calls it the hipster, like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they've got this like protective measures over not letting the outsiders in, letting the Starbucks, like letting mainstream in. So when it came time for me to open a Pliables there, I wanted to do it so bad, but it was so hard for me to like get to that point, because if you go to Rincon, there's no, I mean, in Rincon itself, not on the outskirts, there's no chain shops there. And like me and Abby were surfers from Belmar putting a shop there. We're not locals. It was a tough decision to make. And I did it purely based upon just marketing and saying, we have a shop where we first discovered surfing, acai bowls, and the store doesn't do well at all. I mean, just full disclosure, it's actually a loss. One of our only stores that loses every single year. But I use it as something for, I've sent customers there free, like for competitions. I've sent my employees there. Like, we use that as our marketing. Like, this is who we are. Go visit and experience what we came to found and what we love.
It's important to you.
It's important to me.
And it is like from, honestly.
I lost $80,000 there last year. It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Let me just say. I've been going to
Rincon since I was like, 8 years old. So
yeah,
it's like I used to go like every year, every other year. And I mean, I was never, my dad was like a huge surfer.
Yeah.
I do surf, but I'm not like great. I'm not, yeah, but it's fun. I do. I'm not gonna lie. I suck. I can skateboard. I can snowboard. I'm a fucking terrible.
Your
surfer.
Little brother's like,
I'm
was,
a terrible surfer, but I just love being there. And it's like, it's not like anywhere else that I've ever been. And I think that, like you said, like it's like when you go, like, I think when you go for the first time, maybe it's like a little different. It takes a little getting used to.
Yeah.
But I mean, last time I was there, we went to an Italian restaurant and I was like, it was shocking to me how good the Italian food was.
In downtown.
I was like, these transplants are coming
from. It's not only New Jersey, you've got Maryland, a lot of Canadians go there now too. So you're getting that like mixture.
Yeah.
And Rincon's changing every single day. Like from the first time I went, probably 15 years ago at this point, like it was desolate. It was, the infrastructure wasn't built, but you go every year you go there, it's changing.
Yep.
So I would strongly recommend that anybody would go experience it.
Like, but fuck going to Florida. To add another 30 minutes to your flight. Take a 3-hour flight, 3-hour, 20 minutes, and go to Rincon instead. Like,
it's fucking awesome.
Why go to Florida?
You can drive 5 hours to San Juan from Rincon. Yep. And just, like, there's so many things you can experience in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico's a great country.
Well, I think it's just a good, like, boys trip. Like, you go there with your friends. I feel like even that, like, you can go for, like, four or five days and it's still worth it where you don't have to go there for like a whole week. You know what I'm saying? You can go there for a quick like surfing trip, come back home, feel like you were, you know, away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not like shitty New Jersey waves that are really only good for like, a, you know, a quarter of the fucking year.
Yeah.
And I hate the cold. I hate the cold, dude. And I know like Jersey waves are great in the winter. I have bad circulation, so like, I
cold quack.
Oh my god, I don't. And also, I get
caught. That's why you're wearing a wetsuit. Exactly. The podcast right now.
It's it's probably like I'm like down 15 pounds from wearing this too. No, but I want to bring that up because I was just bringing that up because I know that you've been there a lot. I forgot about the Pliables, but it was actually one of the sickest. It was really cool in there. Like it fit the whole vibe. Like it's not just like, you know. Like I said, just, you know, out of nowhere, just having the dominoes in somewhere. Like, the Pliables there fits the whole vibe. Yeah. That's why at first I was like, wait a second. And it was...
Yeah.
Well, and we changed... Like, if you go to any of the other 95 Pliables, like, in the United States, you go, that has that same feel. And like, we build it out for the town, but Puerto Rico, Rincon, I knew it had to feel different. It had to be a little bit more gritty. So, like, if you look at the design there, it's more fit to Rincon.
Yeah.
And I had to do that. Like, I could have brought my contractor there and built out a regular Pliable. I'm like, no fucking way. I'm like, this is Rincon. They need their own Pliables there. Yeah. So going back to, like, Asbury Park, mainstream, like, I knew we had to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Asbury Park on Cookman, it was the same way, too, with Kathy, my partner there. I told Kathy, go do whatever you want. I go, we'll put the Tillys on the wall. This is not just a franchise company. This is every community will have a different Pliables for what fits their community.
Yeah.
And I still believe that every day. Like, franchises that sign on... We're going to Colorado. We're going to Texas. Like,
whoa.
We're in Atlanta right now. And I said, there's going to be elements put into the community. It's not just a franchise coming in. And I kind of learned this. I went to Utah snowboarding 2 years ago, like by Park City.
Bright,
okay. And I landed. We went to like a shopping center, and there's a Jersey Mike's there. I go,
yeah. I had no fucking idea that they're all over the place.
So I walk in there, and the first thing I see is the big wall. And I know Peter Cancro. His daughter used to work for us. He says, "Welcome to Point Pleasant, New Jersey."
Yeah.
In the middle of Utah. I'm like, holy shit! But then they had elements of like Utah in that store too.
So it felt like it just wasn't transplanted there.
It wasn't just transplanted. I mean, whether Jersey has a good reputation or bad reputation, my first business plan I ever wrote fucking was. Great. People love New Jersey, whether they like to fucking hate on it or not. People love California. People love New York and New Jersey. It's cool. There's good things that have come. So, like, that was my business plan when I first wrote it. I need a little bit of California cool mixed in with Jersey and just, like, that mixture. And that's kind of what the brand is. Jersey and Cali.
Well, I feel like, people, especially from, like, Jersey, like, we get a lot of hate for this. But the people from here, even though, like, we talk shit about our own place, we fucking love this state. Like, I was saying, it's expensive as fuck to live here, rent-wise, things like that. But if you say anything bad about Jersey, especially through our meme page, like, we'll fight you. Like, I know there's, like, Pennsylvania. Like, this Pennsylvania meme page was talking shit on us.
I talk shit all the time to everybody from, like, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New York.
Well,
like,
Delaware, I mean, like, imagine being from Delaware and trying to defend that city. It's a fucking shithole. It's just highways and construction.
Okay, you guys are young. But you ever watch Wayne's World?
Yeah, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Mookalaka Lake, they're in Hawaii. Hey, we're in Delaware. Like, what the fuck?
What do
like,
you do there?
It's Delaware.
Bro, I don't know if you're able to... I mean, talk about this. I want to somewhat bring up that, you know, there is competition in the acai space. And, like...
I made a meme about the competition.
We actually never... Yeah, we never actually...
we never posted it.
We just basically said Fruitables suck stick. No, we've never been. The thing is, unfortunately, we've never been. And we've heard things. Like, we've heard things, and we like to keep an open mind with stuff. But we're obviously Eastern Monmouth County guys. So... Yeah. We know freaking Pliables. Before I knew about you guys, I mean, the only reason, listen, one of my exes told me to go try it out. Before that, I was too big, bad of a bro to do it.
I mean, I was the same. I was like, I'm not going to Pliables.
Dude, it's one of those things where it's like.
Then you realize how many girls were inside of Pliables. Yeah, like, then we have to go.
What am I doing? I had 10 girlfriends after the second time I was in there. No, bro, I went in there. It's one of those things where you're like, I'm not going to try this. You're like.
It's fucking good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's addicting, and it's. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are putting in there, and the plot and
we've had
cocaine.
When we first started, there was cops in Belmar that were like kind of like bullshitting a little bit, like making jokes, like what are you guys putting this? Like they're like gonna start watching us putting drugs in it. And I always made the joke, but now we're as big as we are and got investors and like I can't say that anymore. Like they put drugs in it.
I can say it for you.
I can't say it. You can say it for me.
Yeah, there's coke in there.
It is.
They don't
it's
do it
like
for
the original Coca-Cola.
I walk in my store sometimes and I'm like, this shit's addicting like crack. I'm like, Rob, you can't fucking say that anymore. Like you just get away with it. You can't say it now.
Yeah, without dude, the world's gotten so PC. It's kind of like you gotta like us walk on eggshells. With us, I mean we're. You know.
I mean, when we're on here, we say shit that not necessarily good for us, but we do it anyway. I mean, like,
how do you guys feel about that, though? I mean, there's a restaurant in Long Branch called Butcher's Block. Yeah. And I know the family really well. I mean, I've been there a few times, and the food's great, but...
The D'Ambrisi's, right?
Yeah.
Rudy and his dad.
Rudy and Tommy.
Yeah, Rudy and Tommy's the son. Tommy's the son, right?
And they're taking approaches that I wish I can do from Pliables. I wish I can stand up on social media and say how I really felt, but I've got my mentors again. They're going, Rob, shut your fucking mouth. You can't bring in politics. Yeah. You can't do this. And yeah. I do, and I PC myself, but what makes me nervous at the age of 37 is, when does that fucking end? Now, Tommy is doing it on the social media for Butcher's Block, saying, if you're that concerned, stay the fuck home.
We saw all that, and then they deleted the post.
It's controversial, right?
Yeah.
But at what point, I mean, I do believe in that stance a little bit. I mean, you can't say it as rudely and abruptly as that, saying, if you're that concerned, stay the fuck home, because people are scared.
Yeah. Let me just say, the video, like, everyone agreed with him. The problem is, and I watched the video, and I was, listen, I don't want to take a stand on the page. I was going to say something on a personal. The video just didn't look so great, because he's obviously, like, a guy, and it just looked like he was yelling at a lady. If she has a fucking problem, I agree. Get the fuck out. Because yeah. there's the Karens, whatever.
Yeah.
The difference is, dude, like, you have a different demographic. Obviously.
So, we don't have the Republican meat-eating, people that go to, with money.
I've got
different situations going on, no pun intended, at Pliables. I've got young girls that are going to Pliables. I've got liberals. You got to be cognizant of people's feelings, too. And, like, my personal emotions can't involve. I put a Trump flag in front of my house fucking around my neighbor because me and them don't get along very well. So I put a Trump flag out there just to fuck with them. And the recourse that I got from my employees, my friends, I put that Trump flag out.
Yeah.
And not to get into politics now. It doesn't even matter, but it shows you how sensitive and emotional people are in this day and age. You've got to be careful. But that's why I wake up every day and it frustrates me on top of the business going, but freedom of speech, right? Like, this is the country that we were born into. My father's an immigrant from Italy. He came here, he was 26 years old. Like, this country's changing so fast and so quick. And it's getting frustrating going, we should still be able to speak our minds and not be, lashed out upon. Like, my friend flew into Newark Airport last night, and there's two guys in an airplane first class that got arrested for not wearing a mask on the plane. Oh, man, they just didn't want to wear the mask. So the whole thing with the mask is, I see this sign saying, be a hero, wear a mask. I get that. That's great. But if you don't wear a mask, now you're a fucking terrorist, and now you're a criminal.
It's a little too far.
That's the fucking problem. There's no middle ground. Like, I get it. I don't want to be that jerk off that walks into a Target and saying, I'm not wearing a mask in my civil rights. Like, put the fucking mask on, suck it the fuck up. We're a society, we're a team doing this together.
Yeah.
But to be arrested and accosted the way that these guys were by five Port Authority police, like, that's the society we're living in right now.
And I think that the reason that people are acting so, like, in one way or the other during this whole pandemic is because, and you were saying that people are scared, it's because that there's no fucking, like, direction that we're heading. It doesn't seem like we have this goal. And every time...
No,
like,
definitive answers, yeah.
Yeah, there's no answer. And it's like, it doesn't seem like our leadership has, like, a great plan on either side. Like,
I said this
no
for
one has any idea what the fuck they're doing.
I said this for Pliables for the past 6 years when franchisees, like, nobody likes hearing the word no.
Yeah.
You know, and me coming from my military background, everything, like, if there was a no, there was a explanation put behind it.
Yeah.
So this is why we're doing it the way that we're doing it. And right now, society, we're not getting that answer. It's just all bullshit. It's all media. It's
like
CNN, Fox. Like,
yeah, it's like if people. It's like we're not saying no. We're just going to give you a very special answer that's like fucking beats around the bush and doesn't tell you anything. And you got to fucking figure it out yourself.
It's perception.
Yeah.
When the pandemic first started, and you guys can cut this out if you want or not. I mean, the funniest part of the pandemic for me was Belmar. I went to the town meeting. And I was getting shit in the very beginning for not having social distancing, basically police out in front of my store for a line of like 30 customers. So I go to Ed Kirschenbaum, the people in the town, I'm going, that's not my fucking job to social distance these people outside. Tell them to wear masks. I go, my employees were not trained in crowd control. I go, God forbid a hillbilly from wherever comes in and just starts like yelling at one of my employees.
Yeah.
I'm not putting my employee in that position. I go, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's what they're expecting out of us, and they're just not going to get it, especially moving forward right now. I mean, it's just a tough situation, and there's nothing we can do except for just keep charging on and focus on your fucking self and your business. Yeah. That's it.
Well, let me just say one thing where I was going to jump on this before, but you and your personal life, it's kind of fucked up that you're judged so much on that, like, in terms of your business, where you were saying you got heat for a Trump flag. Whatever you believe in, you're an outside entity. From Pliables, you should be able to put whatever the fuck you want on your house.
Well, now I'm a racist. Now I'm like, when that Trump flag went out, it was insane. It started off as a joke. my buddy's, he's right here in LA. Like, sure. A week later, he put a big sign up in front of my house because I fucked with him. I put like Trump flags in the back of his car, and they put a defund the police sign in front of my house, which I do not believe in whatsoever. Yeah. But, you know, these things that we do as we go forward, like, people are so fucking super sensitive right now. And what are we going to do about it? Like, do you just PC yourself, like he said, just because that's what we're expected to do? Once we have to do that, it's game over. Like, it's just game fucking over, and we become sheep robots just doing whatever, you know, the government tells us to do.
Well, I think there's hope. I really do. And unfortunately, I really hate millennials. I'm technically not. Aren't I'm on the cusp. I'm on the cusp.
We're technically not.
We're out of that realm.
Let me just say, what I've seen is a lot with these millennials that they just take whatever is like told to them by whatever. And I'm seeing a lot of these general, like, obviously, you know, TikTok.
Yeah.
And the shit I'm seeing from like these fucking 13-year-olds that like post, like, crazy. They post some like funny shit, but like, they don't just take, like, if the government says something to them, these kids are like, no, hold on. Let me give my take on it. And I'm like, that's awesome. These are going to be, so I don't know. As far as like, The most people that I'm seeing that give a shit, if I post something and I get, you know, why the fuck did you put that on your story? Unfollow this, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for unfollow it. Unfollow me. Fuck, please. Off. Do me a favor. Actually, do me a favor. Unfollow me. Never see my shit again. Thank you.
That rips us apart as a society. I mean, 9/11 hit, 2001, and like, everybody came together as a society to go through this like terroristic act. And right now, this is, you know, our leader of the country said it. This is a war on this country.
Yeah.
And instead of everybody in together, everybody's going like this.
And yeah, and that's something. It's something that's been happening for years too. So it's like, when is that shit gonna end? You know.
Yeah.
I know, dude. We need to come together to get through this. If anything, we really do. Like, this is, we've never really seen this before.
The fucking force that we're putting on is wear a mask. That's how they want everybody to get together. But then understand this, some people don't want to wear a mask. That's it. Period. Dot. End of story. We're gonna force them to wear a mask. Like, it's just not right. The whole thing's fucked up. November 23rd is right around the corner. We'll see what happens after that. But going back to the business and pliables and
enough politics. Let's talk about
entrepreneurs and what we're doing. I mean, it all ties into it though, and it's super strong. That's what we were talking about with me and, like, you know, being strong minded, like, protecting my employees. But I have nephews. I've got a kid in the way too. And like, I'm scared of what's to come in the future. I mean, as long as, you know, I love doing podcasts with you guys. That's why I agreed to do this, because I want people to hear what I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I? I run a fucking smoothie shop. I put fruit into a blender. But, you know, that's kind of what I was saying, too, during Black Lives Matter and everything. Like, I got a lot of pressure on me saying, you are such a force in social media. You and Abby and Pliables, and going, we don't want to get involved with that. Whether our opinion is this or that, you go, we bring beaches to communities and we bring smoothies and happiness. That's it. Never. Why would you put that onus on us to say, you should be doing this? Fuck you.
Well, fuck you for telling me that I have to do shit. And
we got people telling us we're not doing enough and people saying we're doing too much. And it's like, you can't fucking please anybody. And that's why we didn't want to get involved.
No matter what you
do.
If you say something, it's not enough. If you don't say something, you could be a racist or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why with our page, we get that asked a lot. You know, why don't you do this? Our page is a separation from politics. Because I see politics on fucking TV, all over social media.
And the politics shouldn't leak into what you guys do. It shouldn't leak into Pliables. It should be something separate, and that's where these lines are being blurred nonstop, where everything has to seep in. And word of advice to you guys and to the viewers, and you're like, I've stopped watching CNN and Fox. I watch both too, by the way, so I'm not going to say.
So you know,
I know both sides, and I listen, but I stopped doing it the past 3 weeks. My life has gone up tremendously. My overall happiness, like, I was depressed watching it a month ago, 2 months ago. My girlfriend's watched me at 3 a.m. sitting in front of the TV, like. It drives you to the point of insanity. And as an entrepreneur, I woke up one day, I smacked myself in the face and go, stop worrying about the fucking politics. Worry about your baby and Pliables. That's it.
Just live.
Just live.
Just live.
Every day. Mountain bike, surf, go run Pliables. And that's what I did. And I've been a much better person the past 3 or 4 weeks for it.
Yeah, we try not to be. I mean, even like myself, like, obviously, if something big happens, you figure out, like, you get notifications. But generally, dude, like, whoever, like, yeah, you just got to live in the moment.
Yeah.
And life is just too short. I always say that every day. Like, if anything, like, whatever happens, like, you come a close encounter, almost get it, you know, a car crash, you're just like, dude, life is so fucking short.
Yeah.
It could end tomorrow. So just be happy. Don't let out what other people say affect you.
Yeah.
Let's go back to my competitors real quick.
Yeah,
that's what I really want to dig
into. So what I want to say is,
where's that
Vertibles, I'm coming for you.
There it is. Lightsaber.
Rob said.
Watch out.
Rob said, I could. He said, gee, that hurt my ears, so it's so loud, dude. I'm going to show up to every single Fruitables.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, give me a stupid Cupid. And I'm going to get the look on their face when they don't have it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a little prank.
There you go.
Is that funny? No, it's like horror.
My employees, they get the same shit. Like, customers from Fruitables walk in. I don't know what the name of their bowl is. Like, the Fruitella Bowl. Like, we got the Nutella Bowl.
Yeah. They rip it off.
You guys watch Coming to America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Eddie Murphy, when they walk in, it's not McDonald's, it's McDowell's. We got the Seated Burger. We don't got this. And I've been saying this for a while. Like, Fruitables, the customers will walk into our store. Can we get the Fruitella Bowl? My employees are like, what? Like, no. Yeah. Like, it happens.
They secret shop you?
You think? No, we used to. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, it's acai is the wild, wild west. Smoothie shops, like what's going on? There's Smoothie King. So in the beginning, I was infatuated with them. I was always watching them. I was pissed off about the fact that they copied our brand, per se. But I will tell you both honestly, looking in the eyes, I have not paid attention to them in the past 2 years. I've looked past them. Do I still have like them in the corner of my head? Like, I'm gonna go mountain biking.
I'll
pass by their store every day.
Yeah.
Just to meet customers there. See if they've done anything different. Like, I'm watching them to learn to make our company better too.
You have to. Because you are who you surround yourself with as far as competitors.
Fucking reason why NCAA basketball, football, baseball, it doesn't matter. They watch films on the person they're gonna play. Like, you gotta watch them and understand. If you're going to win, you better know what their move is going to be.
Because, listen, they're changing every day, too. So you got to know if you stay stagnant, you're fucked. They always say if you're not changing or whatever, you know. And it's always what I say. It's like making yourself feel uncomfortable. There's so many people that just get complacent with their life.
Yeah.
And then they just sit there. And it's like, you know, sometimes you don't want, like, this podcast. It's scary to do. It's scary to reach out to guests and to do this and promote these. But that's where the best stuff comes is when you take yourself outside of that comfort zone.
Especially on a Friday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, dude, I could be at freaking DJ's right now. And Rob's, like, making me sit here. I'm like, Rob, let me go.
Yeah, Rob's making us sit here.
Rob just, like, get me the fuck out. Say to his girlfriend, like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's all good.
I think that to close things out, we got to talk about our last...
Just quickly, we have, like, one thing.
We have to know... I don't know. I mean, I know that when we make things about Pliables, someone's always responding. I'm not sure if it's you. I don't know if you know about the memes we've made about you, but we want to know what's your favorite thing that we've made about Pliables, if you have one that you can think of. We have examples if you don't know.
Refresh my memory. There was one about the turning off the parkway. That was pretty funny. There was one about, like...
Oh, like swerving. It was like a swerve game. Okay.
That was Pliables. Pretty funny.
That was one, because I put Fruitables going straight, Pliables
that
right.
That was a good one,
That was my favorite one, to be honest.
The ones that I did were the World War III shelters, where it was like Monmouth County girls, like what their shelter would look like, and I just had Pliables all over the fucking place.
You had a Fruitables in there one. In there too, I think.
No, I never put Fruitables in there.
I think there was a Fruitables one in there. My employees messed me like, what the fuck, Mom County needs just put Fruitables. I was like,
I did not.
It was Shrewsbury, I think.
I never put Fruitables in anything.
I think it was Shrewsbury. It was the Grove. You put in one of your posts, you were like, the World War III like shelter, and Shrewsbury is one of them, and there was Fruitables in there, not Pliables. Go, these motherfuckers.
Look that shit up, dude.
That didn't happen. Let me know for a fact. That's bullshit.
Fact check that.
Fact check on him. One of my first ones that I actually made, and I'll show this to you.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to feel about this.
I know. I love this. I love this one, if you want to see that. We're going to put it on the screen as well. So it's like whenever you put like a Pliables up, 1,000 people show up. And that's true of any place.
Okay. I like this one.
I didn't show him.
I thought you were talking about the Snapple one.
All right, there's a not so good one, but
it's not so much a like, we love Pliables. It's more of a like, Max is like,
is definitely coming from some guy that like his girlfriend fucking broke up with him and she loved Pliables and he's like depressed.
Is
it definitely why do you have to bring it up? All right, fucker.
You already told said that. You already said the next came up with it.
Someone said this and I didn't make this. I didn't make this, but Rob's gonna like smash my computer.
Let me see it. Hand it over. Hand it over, Dave.
He's like,
real fact, Pliables aren't good. I'm gonna respond to this right now. You guys, Rob's not good, huh? I'll show you what's good.
These are Pliables. I got them on Google Images. They're
Is it? Rob can tell you. Is it Pliables?
Are those Pliables or are they not Pliables? You can zoom in, but
no, not Pliables.
Fuck.
No, that's the Fruitable.
Wow.
Seriously? There you go. That's not our bowl.
We're going to put that on the screen.
That's not our bowl.
That's how you fucking know. And he was talking so highly in that meme. You fucked up.
My employees screenshot that. They sent that to me. They were like, Mom, I kind of need to put a Fruitable up there. I was like,
yeah, but I tagged the Pliables, so.
Hey, it's still
brand confusion, man.
You know what? You want to know why I couldn't fight
a lawsuit against Monmouth County means? That's it.
You know what? I blame you because I couldn't find a pliable picture that I could cut out on Photoshop correctly.
You're blaming me, motherfucker. It's that's your fault. Biggest downfall right it's now. That's fault. It. That's why Monmouth County Keys is going nowhere. That's it.
You know what? If you put more PNGs of your stuff on Google, we could steal them for free and put them in our stuff, and it would be easier. I'm sorry that he has to know to use Photoshop and cut it out, all right? Like, we just don't do that.
I also made this one.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, you said this is my
passion. I want nothing to do with that one. Don't get me involved with that.
I mean, honestly, most of my memes are, like, making fun of people. Not in a positive way so much. I'm not, like, the, like...
So, how many podcasts have you guys done?
This is 16.
And Jesus. The other 15 have gone live already, and you've actually put them
they're
out
all
there.
Out, yeah, man.
You're getting a lot of viewerships.
So we're at like almost 10,000 views on YouTube. We're going to be nearing on 200 subscribers soon. As far as do downloads, so we do audio as well. So you can you could download on Spotify, SoundCloud, all those. Dude, it's at like 1,500, which is crazy because like,
people watch it more than
like, people watch it more than we awesome. Spend Good more time guys. And like as far as listening, but dude, this is something where we just, you know, it's our passion. We've always kind of wanted to start a podcast, and we talk about it, but you see people starting it from scratch, and it's fucking difficult to get that audience.
Yeah.
Where even for Pliables, dude, you did the right thing. You know, I'm assuming, like, dude, if you opened up the first Pliables in like Millstone, you know, in farmland, probably not so fucking good. But you were right on the like boardwalk in Belmar. New, that's placement right there.
Yeah.
So with this podcast, we were able to use Monmouth County Memes to reach out to people like you, you know, influential, successful people, get you on, and it only heightens us.
Who are your favorite podcasts so far? Besides
definitely not this. I mean,
yeah, this one fucking sucks. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I can't wait to make fucking memes about you guys tomorrow. That's it.
Do it, honestly.
We're gonna shit post. Like, we're gonna see, like, I'm like, hey, Jared, can you look up Pliables really quick? Dude, it says account not available.
Yeah, blocked you guys.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. This is the podcast Max has been, like, going crazy about for quite some time. This is the one he's been looking forward to.
This is the, you know, this is the kind of the guy that we want to have on.
Absolutely get Jamie from E-Clean Relentless.
We've been trying to get Jamie on for a while. Yeah.
I can get, he's my best friend.
No, I know. Like, we talked about it and we almost had him on once and then we didn't.
It's just,
one of your funnier podcasts.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
It will fucking crush it. Yeah. You'll
watch
it.
We've met him before.
He's hysterical.
He's a great guy.
He just, what I like about you guys, and especially like you're talking about like, you know, the Butcher's Block as well. You guys are just... There's somewhat like a raw nature about you guys where it's like, obviously you have these businesses that you worked hard for and it really shows about you, but like the personalities behind you is what's really awesome. That's why we met you. Yeah. No, your personality sucks, dude.
When you came to my house right before a podcast and dropped off Pobbles, I was like, fuck this guy. Like, he gave us free shit right before we start recording.
Green? No, are you kidding me?
My worst color. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you look bad in most things, but green is definitely the worst.
Although technically Abby gave us these shirts, so I guess that wasn't Rob's fault.
Was Abby?
Yeah, it was when we went to the Red Bank opening. Yeah. The Red Bank opening, yeah.
True, we did stop by there. Because you guys got that store back, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that not it was like, what,
it was
a franchise?
It was our first franchise.
Yeah.
No, it was cool.
We
you guys had like a nice little event there.
I got a ticket right before. It was great.
Oh,
I was
no.
on my way there. I was going 40 into 25 and Fairhaven cops for not having it.
And you got the ticket?
Yep.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I mean, as far as like big, like, as like you were like one of the guests that I've always wanted on. I don't know.
Definitely.
Do you know Bro Science Life guy, Dom Mazzetti? You know Dom Zetti, old YouTuber, used to make those like really, honestly, nowadays he would not, his videos would not do well.
Because
he says like fucked up shit, like, you know, whatever. But he's kind of one of the guys, like a New Jersey guy I'd want on. I mean, I don't know, like you're one of the bigger ones like that. And we're chipping away now with these big people that we're having these people on and people see the level of production that we have.
Yeah.
So whenever you speak, camera's on you, same thing. So
cool.
It's definitely awesome, man. And we're happy, like. 16, dude.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That's pretty fucking awesome. Congratulations. The 16 podcast, and you guys are loving it, and you're still doing it and pushing forward. Like, if there's anything I can do moving forward, like, if there's a connection that you want, there's somebody, like, let me know. I might know somebody who knows them, and, like,
Pliables
like,
clout, it's paying off.
Yeah.
All right, I'm basically going to say, like, I'm basically, like, one of the founders of Pliables. It's like, who are you? Yeah, I'm like Rob's little brother.
There you go. Make it more interesting.
Yeah, I dye my hair brown. It's cool. Like, he has blonde hair, but it's just whatever. Just.
Nice.
But no, thank you for coming on, man. This is, it's been an awesome time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's definitely, like, this is something, like I said, we wanted to do for a long time, and finally we're able to do it. And guys, we are keeping a safe distance from one another. I don't, you know, people in the comments are going to be like,
yeah,
you know, you always have those things, but you know what? We're living life, having a good time. You got anything to say?
No,
not at all.
So when's the next Pliables meme?
So I think, we could do the
I'll come up with something.
You know, I think actually...
this time I'll actually use Pliables in the picture.
How many followers do you guys have?
28,000. It's going to be at 27K.
But you guys have a lot of engagement. I see, like, when you guys put things up, people are commenting and liking. Yeah. So it's all natural. It's organic. Kind of like Pliables Instagram.
Yeah.
What do we have? 75,000 followers right now. And, like, so we easily could have a million followers because you can get these robots. You can buy the followers. Do not do that. Well,
I talk shit on so many fucking influencers and businesses that do that. Yeah. They got 50K followers. They like get 100 likes on each pic. And I'm just like, wow, dude, that's fucked. Because we get at least 2K likes on each fucking thing. We get like 100 comments, whatever. We're actually one of the highest engagement, like, engaged accounts in New Jersey.
Yeah. And just I saw that. I recognized that with your Instagram, that you guys were getting a lot of, like, likes and comments. I mean, that's huge, too, right off the bat. Like, I don't do the TikTok. I'm the TikTok. That's when you know you're fucking old. When you say, the TikTok.
Just picture Rob the Instagram right now.
Fucking A. I'm so mad. Edit that right now. Just put take the out and TikTok.
I'm actually going to show it twice just to get on you.
But you guys are funny as shit. You guys got good content. It's funny. I wish you guys the best of luck.
Yeah, we'll make some more Ply stuff. And I'll tag you, dude. I'm waiting. But... yeah, so now I know that partly you're in the account. I know there could be someone else, but
I'll
make sure.
Do you guys
sure.
have domains? I mean, you got Monmouth County Means. Are you guys thinking about doing like other county? Like, I know you're Monmouth County guys.
Well, there are other county pages already.
Oh, they already have them.
Yeah, well, I mean, like we all kind of like
you guys
talk.
The best, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, dude, New Jersey Memes. Bro, like, she's got more followers, but we're better.
Bro, we have more followers than like state meme pages. Like, we have more followers than, like, New Hampshire. What was that? Like, New Hampshire.
New York memes.
Like, things like that.
Have you guys reached out to Barstool?
Dude, no. That would be the fucking goal for me is to work for Barstool.
So the pandemic, we sent... it's
the unboxing.
The unboxing.
Oh, my fucking God.
And he unboxed. He got the Pliables shirt. And then we tried reaching back out to, like, his agents, like, actually bring a Pliables. We just... Yeah. The pandemic, Black Lives Matter happened. So this the whole thing just, like, unfolded with him.
Bad timing.
But you guys, I mean, to get a Barstool would be unbelievable. Two of my franchisees, their kids in Alabama, run the Barstool's, like, pages.
Barstool Space.
The colleges and shit. Like, you guys.
Dude, that would be the goal if we could ever Barstool get picked Monmouth up County. By Barstool.
Yeah.
Just did a show. Instead of call her
Barstool
daddy.
Barstool Monmouth County, yeah.
We should. Fuck it.
Yeah. We'll Monmouth University out. Has one, right?
Monmouth has it.
Max, he went to Monmouth. He hates those kids.
Dude, they don't interact with me at all. And I'm like, I got 3 times as many followers as you. Like, don't you? I can help you, but why don't you, like, interact? All right, fuck them. Like,
whatever. Fuck them.
No, that's all. So, guys, thank you for watching the 16th ever Monmouth, the MCM, I was going to say Monmouth County Memes. Dan, I'm really thinking about this. The MCM podcast, thank you for watching. Rob, do you have anything that you want to plug for Pliables in the future? Or?
No, go Bulls deep. That's it.
I love that. Bulls deep. Okay, guys, have a nice night.
Awesome. Peace. Thanks, guys.